Do we have Ketchikan online?
Yes.
Okay, Rangel?
Yes.
Okay, Robert Larson?
Come on, a roll call.
Do you want me?
I don't hear Robert on there, but go ahead. I believe. I'm sorry.
Joel,
are you back on?
I'm back on. Thanks, Bob. Thank you.
Okay, we had discussions on the CEO's plan and possible salary and compensation. I believe there's a motion to be made. Bob, if you'd like to do that.
Since we're doing this telephonically, would you, I think it would be worthwhile to call a roll to make sure everybody's back on. And then to see if there's anybody other than CEPA board members online.
Thank you. And I would agree. Sharon, if you'd call the roll, please.
I will. Amelon?
Here.
Bynum?
Here.
Sievertson?
Present.
Skillings? Lynn?
Here.
Benson?
Here.
Larson?
Yes, here.
Hagerman?
Here.
Prysunka? Von Bargen?
Here.
And one more, now I understand that Joel Paisner is on the line, but one more time, Cliff Skillings, are you on the phone? No response, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sharon.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Bob.
I'd move that the chair and council meet and work with Trey, the CEO of CEPA, on a 3-year contract with a 3% compensation in the first year, retroactive to January 1st, and other terms as required. Said agreement to be brought back for approval by the board at the next regular meeting.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Sharon, would you please call a roll and, on that motion?
I will. Larson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Von Bargen?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Seeing that the group was 5-0 on it, I believe, and so can we move on to the item of which we added to the agenda? And that has to do with looking at the possibility of doing video conferencing for meetings or partial meetings. And with that, I will open it up, but I think Trey also has some thoughts about that if he's in the room.
I'm here, Mr. Chair. Happy to kind of open up the discussion a little bit. I just want to let you know that I put out a memo to staff and have copied the board on that regarding just awareness and prevention measures for the COVID-19 coronavirus. We don't have any cases here in Alaska yet, but I think there's an opportunity for us to be proactive and start putting some of these mechanisms in place. I don't know for sure, but I think it's fairly safe to assume at some point in time we'll see some cases in Alaska. First of all, I just want to assure the board that we're taking measures with CEPA staff and CEPA employees to address the issue, and also putting together more firmer details for a response plan. Just dealing with issues that come up, if somebody were to, have some type of a respiratory issue out at one of our remote sites, for instance, how would you demob that person into town and get them treatment? Obviously, you're not going to know whether it's the coronavirus till they get tested and such, and then how would you notify people? And so dealing with a lot of those kind of core issues on how you would approach that, hopefully We're supposed to also meet, I believe, with the fire chief here in Ketchikan as well, and talk about some of those logistical issues and how you do that and minimize the impact to other folks. So I think that that's the first step, is, you know, prevention and some of these communication protocols and how we might deal with some of that. The next part of that component is a little broader looking, is, you know, if we did have a large outbreak here in town, you know, and you still had to have coverage at the plants, how would you go about that and manage staffing there? So that's the next component I'll be working on to detail out a little bit more, so we have a plan in place and we can kind of scrub it ahead of time, try to find any fatal flaws, if you will, in the plan, and make some adjustments before it even happens. And hopefully it doesn't happen, but I think we're fortunate that we have a little time here to put a plan together. It's better than being reactionary later down the road. So with that, one of the items that I think is of seems to be more and more sensitive is looking forward to our next board meeting, the regular board meeting at the end of this month, and the potential to do a call-in meeting similar to this. We are reaching out to all three communities, trying to figure out if there's a centralized place in all three communities that we could set up some video conferencing. So we'd also have the video component, so staff reports and things like that. We could pull some visual aids up on the screen. So we are working on that now, and I guess part of the discussion today, I'd be interested to hear what the board's perspective is on the upcoming meeting. If people are willing to travel, if not, if they want to, you know, look at a call-in meeting for this until things firm up, you know, our next meeting beyond that would be potentially another 2.5-3 months out. So that would give things a little time to mature. But anyway,
if I can, this is Carl Lamelon. Just a couple of quick comments.
Carl, go ahead.
The city of Ketchikan, including KPU, effective today, has put a 30-day ban on travel for employees. Personally speaking, I was supposed to be on a flight tomorrow to go down to Seattle for medical, and I'm not doing that on the advice of my healthcare provider.
Carl, can I interrupt you just a second? We've got some scratching, some moving something around someplace, and we can't hear you on this end.
Well, it's so bright and sunny in Ketchikan, Trey has to close the blinds.
Okay. I'm sorry for interrupting, but we couldn't hear anything.
Okay.
Go ahead, Carl.
Real quickly, effective today, the city of Ketchikan, including KPU, has put a 30-day travel ban on employees, that we're not going to allow people to go. I can't do anything about personal travel, but from an employer point of view, I think it's a prudent move. And I know a number of governments, I think, didn't you say, Bob, that somebody said the state had put on a travel ban? Speaking personally, I was supposed to be on a plane tomorrow to go down to Seattle for some medical issues, and I'm not going. My healthcare provider recommended against it. So I would much prefer right now to do our next meeting either by phone or video conference. I got an email today. Let me stress, this is not Ketchikan, but Peace Health Network has had their first case down in the Washington area. So I agree with Trey. It's going to find its way here, whether it's airlines, barge lines, or cruise lines, it's going to get here.
Not if, it's when.
Yeah. Or when, excuse me. So that's my view.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. Anybody else on the...
Well, Mr. Chair, this is Joel, since I'm in the belly of the beast here. if you don't mind, I'll just share what we've seen going on here and what some of my other utility clients are dealing with. And, you know, all major employers from Amazon to Microsoft, you know, Facebook and Google have major presence here. the University of Washington has closed down and only has online classes. They said through the end of March, but everyone's anticipating another month. You know, Carl, you probably wouldn't have had the ability to even have any treatment here because they're essentially going to shut down elective procedures at the hospitals. I just heard today that the University of Washington, which had to develop its own test in order to start testing people, has set up outdoor mobile testing facilities because they don't want people coming inside the hospital for their employees. All their employees are getting tested now. And there's been, I don't know, maybe 25 deaths. And the problem is we just don't have enough testing to figure out how extensive the spread is. But, you know, no, like, you know, in terms of my commute, it's fabulous. You know, there's no cars on the street. If you want a dinner reservation, you can get it any time. But it's pretty scary, I have to say.
Thank you, Joel. Other thoughts? A question, though, for you, Trey, is have we tested, done some testing of whether or not we could do the video conferencing in the three communities tied together?
I think we're still refining that. We've reached out to see if we can find a location, to see if they actually have the equipment that I'll say is compatible to whatever we do, whether it's GoToMeeting or Zoom.com, or we originally also looked at Microsoft 360's got a form of that too. So we're still kind of ferreting that out, and I think we could probably pull that together before the meeting. You know, and, but for the most part, we virtually everything that we would put up on the screen, you know, for the most part, we put in the packets. So if we just had like if it ended up that we just had the same format that we do today, for the most part, I think everybody would have everything in front of them anyway. Yeah. It would just be kind of nice, you know, to have the video portion of it if possible. So I don't think the video component is critical, but we are working toward getting that set up ahead of the next meeting. But I wanted to find out if that was something that the board wanted to do or if I'm wasting my time on that as well. So,
well, we had a video conference.
Hey, Trey, this is Robert Larson. Mr. Chair?
Yes, Robert,
yeah,
go ahead.
So I've got a question for Trey, and that's, you know, what is his feelings about sending staff to Wrangell? You know, for my perspective, going back and forth, Wrangell to Petersburg, I mean, there's like a zero chance of any of us contracting anything. So, but what's Trey's feelings about sending staff from the airplane to Wrangell and going back and forth?
So, considering that Seattle's kind of the major hub and all of our planes are coming through Seattle, it makes me nervous. And certainly I don't want to expose all of our staff to that. I think that's got a fatal flaw. So my preference at this time would be to do a teleconference for our next regular meeting. And if we can get the video component all configured and working smoothly before that, add that as a additional, and then reevaluate prior to our next meeting. You know, obviously we have remote sites, so we have some travel that's required. And for the most part, we'll do that with small operators. And I think the risk exposure is, I'll say, somewhat less, especially prior to the tourist season where you have a lot of people flying on these planes and stuff. But so that's kind of where I'm at right now.
So, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes, Bob, go ahead.
So, the city of Ketchikan, I understand, is already looking at the ability for some employees to work remotely from home. And I know that there's a lot of companies now that are doing that on a broader schedule. I think Carl just mentioned Google was trying to do some of that. So in regards to SEPA staff, I think it would be worthwhile to do that. Because even if the SEPA staff isn't exposed, they have public meetings downstairs, and if there was a case where somebody in the audience or a member of the assembly got sick and all of a sudden tested positive, the building's shut down, everything's compromised, and there's a 10-day waiting period before you can do anything. So you may not have the virus, but you may not be able to perform your work either. So I think that for Trey, if he can look at what we're doing today in regards to a lot of the computer stuff, that kind of stuff, and what may be able to be done at home with employees if such a case arose, I think that would be a worthwhile look at.
So if I may, Mr. Chair, Mr. Trey, we've already started looking at that.
Yes.
Bob?
Go ahead, Trey.
Thank you. Most of us have laptops, so we're just making sure everybody's set up the VPN in. Maybe you just staff the office with like one person if you needed to or something. If there was some type of a major outbreak. And if they shut the building down, then we're all going home. And for the most part, most of us can work from home. And we spend most of our day sitting at our workstation anyway. We're already looking at that. And they're working with our provider to make sure all that stuff's coming together. So,
good.
Yeah.
I had a question, and it has to do with...
Somebody come on the line here just now. Folks from outside there. Okay, go ahead. Am I hearing that we want to try do it by telephone, the next meeting telephonically? Is that what I'm hearing as the most people would like to try?
Yes, I think that's what we're hearing here in Ketchikan.
This is Jeremy here. I have a question for Trey. The preliminary information that's being provided by those that are being quarantined at this time outside of the elderly is that the symptoms of the coronavirus have been mild and the impacts to people are generally mild and or non-existent, even if they test positive. Is there a thought that if this were to impact or affect people at our remote sites, and although I didn't note that you did mention it in your memo, that they would still continue to work and just be quarantined at the site?
No, so that's something that I think you almost have, and if I, and through the chair, if it's okay, I think it's going to be kind of a case-by-case basis, right? So if you have one person that's infected, then they self-quarantine themselves, say, hey, man, I'm not feeling good. I'm going back to my room. He's staying in his room. He's not going back in the powerhouse, right? The other guy that's on duty there, he'll perform all those duties. We'd just go into essentially maintenance mode where you're just keeping things going. The lights are on and not doing any high-risk stuff. And then we look at how we would demob that person out of there, if they require treatment. If they have a mild case, that would be one of those case by case things. Maybe you discuss, hey, if you're feeling fairly good, and we'd have to make the decision: do you bring the boat out and try to transfer them back, or do you put them on a plane, or expose other people? So those are some questions that. I mean, we can't keep them there, right?
Right.
So it's going to be a little bit more dynamic, I think. But if somebody's in bad shape, we'll get them out of there. And we certainly aren't. We want to pull them out of the workforce as quickly as it's identified.
Sure. This is Petersburg. We're back on again. We didn't pay our bill, so we'd have to go pay it before we get back on.
Did everybody else get dropped, too?
No, we're still here.
No. Just to kind of recap what I was going over, Jeremy had asked the question whether if somebody out at the site was found to be infected, would they keep working or not? And right now, anybody, whether it's in the office or out at the site, they would be removed from the workforce, whether they sent home here or there, they go back to their house, and then we would reevaluate at that point.
So I guess one of my thoughts on this is I believe that right now the CDC is treating every positive case as a quarantine case and they are getting involved. That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. So if we actually did have an employee that did come back to town because they were feeling ill and did test positive, mm-hmm. would that then put the other employee that's out there at risk of quarantine even though they're not showing symptoms? Mm-hmm. Or how are we going to proceed with that?
Yeah, so I'd like to say...
Is it too early to say?
I think it's a little early to say, but for instance, if somebody was infected out at the site, you know, we would be wanting, there's two people out there typically, we would obviously want to make it so the other person out there could get tested. They're going to want to know
sure.
if they've been exposed. And then, of course, you're going to want to sterilize the main parts where people are working and get somebody in there just to man the control room if necessary. I mean, we do have the capability to operate facilities right here from our headquarters, too, worst case scenario. You know, Tahi first, Sawin second, and then here third. So we have contingency plans for to continued operations. But, you know, we're still going to try to get somebody back out to the site to man the facility.
And then I guess one other thing that Mr. Hogue had said, Abner Hogue, had mentioned that it's probably a good recommendation that we recommend all of our employees, SEPA, KPU, and the other utilities to go get your flu shot to help eliminate that as a possible cause for impact to the healthcare facility here and potential for fear of quarantine and all that.
So in the conversation that we had the other day, and I know it affects the cruise industry, which is maybe somewhat different with how they do something else, but it seems to me that when they go through this process and they get a test, if they do get a positive, then the Alaska Department of Health is coming down and telling you what you're doing. They and the CDC are the ones that are being controlled.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be us telling our employees you got to stay there or you're in lockdown. I wouldn't be comfortable with that. But
they got to take in the fact that there's essential services that have to run and there has to be a way that you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we also want, you know, somebody, if they have complications, we want them closer to medical care, right?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I don't know, I guess it prompts the question, you know, what are all the three communities doing? Do they have quarantine areas already established? Has that been communicated to the community? And if so, it'd be nice that we knew that so we could kind of incorporate it into our plan that, you know, for instance, if I had to bring somebody out from the plant that
what
was potentially infected, how would we coordinate to getting them to that area and minimize exposure to everybody else? No, those type of questions come up.
I think Chief will be able to tell you that when you meet with him, because I think there is a plan in place. And so the other thing is that I heard from the industry that we talked to yesterday, is they're all ramping up their infectious control stuff. They're all disinfecting. They've got fog machines ordered. They got other things to try to work in prevention rather than reaction.
Okay. Okay. Any other thoughts? I've got to come back to the issue of, do we want to try the March meeting in telephonically? That was the question I think Trey raised.
If there's a motion necessary, I think I would move that we do it telephonically at the minimum. If there's a potential for video conferencing, we go there. And the fact that the city of Ketchikan has put a 30-day travel restriction on, and I think that's you're gonna find more and more of that going on.
Mm-hmm.
And our desire not to expose anybody unnecessarily, I think teleconference makes sense.
Okay. Is that about a motion in on the table, Bob?
I would move.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
This is Carl. I'll second.
Okay, since we have a motion and a second here, Sharon, would you please call a roll?
I will.
Sievertson? Yes.
Larson?
Russell? Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Von Bargen?
Yes, I'm sad you're not coming to Wrangell, but I understand.
Okay.
There will be another time. Amelon?
Not soon enough.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. It passes.
Sharon, you comment there? I didn't hear the last part.
Oh, no. I just said there will be another time.
That we can visit Wrangell.
Yeah, that we can visit, yeah. The motion.
Next meeting in, that's 5-0. The next meeting in will be held telephonically.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and last item on that agenda is adjourned. Is there a motion to adjourn?
This is Bob. I move that motion.
Second?
Second. We have Mr.
Nobody wants to adjourn?
Mr. Severson moved and Mr. Larson seconded, Mr. Chair.
Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Thank you. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned and moving on. In the meantime, Joel, we're done here. If you'll be there for a few minutes, I'll give you a call.
All right, thanks, Bob. I'm here. Call my mobile if you can.
All right,
thanks,
thank
everyone.
Yep, thank you, everybody.